good evening and welcome to another exciting session here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center, where we're teaching you on this book, Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. As always, we're thankful for our apostle, Dr. Leroy Thompson Sr., Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and the royal family, and all of the ministries that God has placed up under his care. This evening, we're going to move into chapter number 18, which talks about the times of the revivalists. Now, this is important because in chapter 3, we'll go back over there, but in revival, there's always a need for a revival starter. God does nothing in the earth realm without men. Did you hear that? It was God who chose man to be in partnership with him, co-laborers together with him. You listening? So whenever a revival breaks out in the land, it starts with a revivalist. Y'all understand that? God must always have man's cooperation. And we'll go back. See, God gave me to do it this way, to start at the end and go to the beginning, because the law of location say the first thing we need to understand is what? Where we are. We're in the times of the revivalists, and the revivalists can bring reformation, restoration, times of revealing, times of refreshing, times of repentance, times of revelation. Do y'all understand that? You know, in the seven stages of revival, they're consummated when God releases his revivalist. The revivalist is packing all of these in the one. You understand that? Because God can do nothing in the earth realm except he first moves through man. God chose men. Jesus was a man, Acts 2:22, approved of God among us by signs and wonders and miracles which God did by him. So in this time that we're in, the time of the revivalists, this is where the church is, and God is using these revivalists to bring his church back to God's original plan. Let's begin this evening's lesson.
The book of Acts
is the Acts of the Holy Spirit
through certain apostles.
These men
were the greatest product
of the outpouring
of the Holy Spirit.
The miracles of healings,
signs and wonders,
and supernatural abilities
were all overshadowed
by the fact that these ordinary men
were manifesting
God in the human body. Now, what does that sound like to you?
Doesn't that sound like the Bible says in John 1:14,
and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us,
and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
In other words, if the Word was made flesh one time, it could be made flesh again.
It is God's Word getting on the inside of men and women.
As a matter of fact, the whole purpose of the apostolic is to bring the church to a place of maturity where Christ is formed in them, so that they can carry out the mission of Christ, which is to seek and to save that which is lost, which is to reconcile lost man back to God by miracles, signs, and wonders. Go ahead.
The greatest product
of these end time revival
is going to be
the manifestation of these men.
These men are here.
See, if you're still waiting on them, you're going to be lost.
Because God cannot start a revival without a what? Revivalist. Go ahead.
Full of the Holy Spirit and faith.
These men will be full of the Holy Spirit and faith.
There is no revival.
There is no revival.
Without a revival.
Without a revivalist. So now you see, there's no revival without who? A revivalist. So when you think of the seven stages of revival, you're talking about someone, number one, who paid the price to be the revivalist. It costs you. Go ahead.
No revival
can gather momentum
without a revivalist.
A revivalist
is not just carried
by a revival wave.
He creates
a revival wave. How does he create a revival wave? Because he's yielding to the assignment that God has given him. Now, we have no greater example of that than Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is the founder of this school of ministry, who is an apostle and have an apostolic message, money cometh to the body of Christ. But it's not just about the money. It's about developing sons and daughters who will usher Christ in, because when God spoke the words money cometh to him, God said money cometh will be here till the return of Christ. Go ahead.
A revivalist
carries an apostolic mantle.
That helps him to organize,
consolidate,
and to establish the believers
in what God is prophetically
fulfilling today.
Understanding
the times of the revivalist.
The times of the revivalist
is the times
when a special mantle
of God's anointing
will rest
upon the prophetic church.
So the purpose of the revival is to rest upon who? The church. Say the church.
The church.
Go ahead.
This mantle
is called the mantle of Samuel's anointing.
Reference Acts chapter 3, verse 24. The prophetic anointing
was brought into a new level of expression.
Function and maturity. Before the days of Samuel,
the prophetic anointing
was a patriarch type of anointing.
Which could only be transferred
through natural sonship
and natural lineage. Hold it. Now you see, notice that before Samuel, you listening? Before Samuel, it was a patriotic succession. You understand? I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Y'all listening? All what? Patriotic and natural lineage. Y'all got it? Okay. But in this new move of God, this apostolic move, you listening? It's more about spirituality and maturity. Sons and daughters that you have imparted, reproduce yourself in by the power of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, daughter.
Moses
touched a greater measure
of the prophetic anointing.
God
took some of Moses' spirit
and he put that spirit upon 70 men.
God took some of Moses' spirit
and put it upon a young man
Joshua,
by the name of Joshua,
who became a capable
substitute for Moses, or one who would function in Moses' stead. And I'm sorry, listen, but notice Moses' spirit went upon 70 men. These men were elders in Israel. They wasn't his natural children. Y'all catching it? Wasn't his natural children. Okay, go ahead.
Samuel's ministry
marks the beginning
of a new era,
Of prophetic release
and corporate leadership.
In other words, y'all know how sometimes we just strong on family, but if your family member won't take the time to get it, it'll come on somebody else. Go ahead.
B.
Samuel's anointing. Samuel had a what? Threefold anointing.
Samuel was a prophet.
As a prophet of God.
Divine oracles.
Were continuously given to Israel.
Unlike the days of Eli.
Reference 1 Samuel
3:1.
And 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20.
Samuel was a priest.
Notice first he was a what? Prophet. And he also stood as a what? Priest. His trifold anointing was prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. Y'all know as a prophet, God spoke these words to Samuel. None of the words that you speak gonna fall to the ground. Isn't that something? Why? Why? How could God tell him that? Because God was the one putting the words in his mouth. Are you listening? When we speak what God tell us to speak, then God is the one who performs what he told us to speak. Do you understand that? See, in apostolic government, we must get away from this man thing. It's a God thing. And in the church, we must recognize the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher as men or women in the earth who represents God. So when they speak to us, it's God speaking. If you're in the realm of the flesh, you're going to miss this because you're going to be looking for what? A carnal relationship. Go ahead.
As a priest.
Samuel ministered. In the house of the Lord at Shiloh.
Samuel
also was a king.
A judge.
Go ahead.
As a judge.
He ruled.
In both the natural.
And in the spiritual realm.
He kept the people.
Under God's rule.
And spiritual subjection.
Reference is 1 Samuel 7:13. 1 Samuel 7, chapter 7, verses 3 and 4.
1
Samuel
7:14.
Chapter 7, verse number 14.
Number 2.
Samuel's anointing
can be imparted
to an individual.
During Samuel's lifetime, Samuel anointed two men
to be king over Israel.
One was Saul.
The first one he anointed was King Saul.
And the other one was King David. Saul was anointed.
Saul, pay attention to this class. Saul was anointed
with a flask of oil.
There is an anointing. That does not cost our lives. You got that? A flask of oil came from plastic or glass product, something that was made. You got it? Go ahead.
Reference is
1 Samuel
10:1.
King David was anointed
with a horn of oil.
This anointing. That was poured out of the horn
is symbolism
that it will cost
our whole lives,
our whole lives, like it cost that animal
from which the horn was taken.
That is why ministry is so tough. Because ministry, you have a lot of people want to be preachers. They want all of these calls, names, titles. But guess what they don't want? The cost. Can you lay down your life? Are you willing to lay down your life? Because ministry costs you your life. Ministry is not a popularity contest. You will not be liked if you're a real minister of God. Go ahead.
The
reference is 1 Samuel 16
and 13.
Chapter 16, verse 13.
Saul was men's choice.
Saul, oh my goodness. Saul, King Saul, was man's choice. Now, how can I say that? Samuel anointed two men. If you are a student of the Bible, Israel cried out for a king. They wanted to be like all the nations of the world. God's original plan and God's will, God said, Israel, I'm your king. But like people in the church who want to be like secular, there's more church folk wanting to be secular than secular people wanting to come to the church. Why? Because of culture. This new culture that's trying to creep into the church. Men marrying men. When women marry. No, we can't have that. Are you listening? Go ahead, daughter. Saul, let me finish. Saul was man's choice. God said, I want to be your king. You listening? I want to be your king. Samuel's heart was broken. He wept. Now, some people say, God won't give you something that's not his will. You better read your Bible. Yeah, I said you better read your Bible. See, a lot of people just say stuff without what? Spiritual backup. The children of Israel wanted a king. God said, it's not my will, but since you're bent on having you a king who's going to take your wives, your daughters, and your sons and enslave them, then that's your choice. Go ahead.
But David
was
God's choice.
David was who?
God's choice.
Saul
represents the flesh. Saul
represents the will of the flesh. But David represents what? The will of the Spirit.
Though both men were anointed
by Samuel.
Yet only David went into the fullness
of Samuel's anointing. What does that mean? Most people don't know. David stood as a prophet, a priest, and a king. Just like Samuel. Which shows that apostolic succession can be imparted to someone even if they're not your own natural child. Go ahead.
Number three.
Samuel's anointing
could be placed upon
a group of men.
Samuel's mantle of anointing
was placed upon an entire group of men. And each one of them prophesied. Do you understand that because of the prophetic anointing that was upon Samuel, when people would come into his presence, they would want to what? Prophesy. When you get around real anointed men and women of God, are you listening? Then their spirit can come upon you. Go ahead.
The mantle of the spirit of prophecy
came upon everyone.
Who came near Samuel's anointing. His anointing covered David.
From the murderous spirit.
Of King Saul and his men. The prophetic mantle. Provided, y'all notice that?
The prophetic mantle provided divine protection for David. King David.
The mantle of Samuel's anointing.
Subdued.
The power of a murderous spirit.
That was in King Saul. Saul wanted to kill David. Now, y'all know David was a man of war. David was a what? Man of war. Now, even though David was God's choice by the spirit and Saul by the flesh, David could not touch God's anointed. Study the Bible. The scriptures say David, being a man of war, went in a cave and could have killed Saul. But when he cut his skirt, his heart was smitten. That's where the scripture comes. Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. You cannot handle a man or woman of God any kind of way. Now y'all quiet up in here. You have to have a respect for a man and a woman of God like you have for God. But some of you want to bring them down to your natural level and disrespect them because you look at some weaknesses or some insufficiency that they have. That's the problem in the church today. Go ahead.
The mantle of Samuel's anointing
exposed the power of satanic activities that was in King Saul.
Quickened
the gifts inside Saul. Quickened the gifts inside of King Saul.
Enlarged his spirit.
To contain more of God.
The fullness of the anointing.
Is to break all yokes.
References
Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27.
Number four, Samuel's anointing
could cover a geographical area or a jurisdiction.
References.
First Samuel.
7:13.
First Samuel.
7:5.
Chapter 7, verse 5.
And
verses 8 through 10.
First Samuel
chapter 12.
Verse 23. Samuel's anointing
was a governing force
over the spiritual climate
of Israel.
Samuel did the spiritual policing
in the heavens or the heavenlies. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians, we war not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That has to do with demonic activity in the heavenly realm. Are you listening? It is the apostolic and prophetic mantles that are designed to deal with the spirits that try to overwhelm territories. You have to be anointed to deal with a devil. Go ahead.
As he prayed,
the heavens opened
and God intervened
in the lives of his people.
Samuel's anointing
was also a governing force
over the natural realm of Israel.
Samuel, the prophet, dealt with every foreign
and false god.
See.
Men of what?
Kindred souls.
The time of the revivalists
is the time
where men of kindred spirits
are drawn together
to carry on or to carry out
God's
end time vision.
It is a time of reproducing men. Now, it is a time of reproducing men
of integrity
and power.
These men
will have a kindred spirit,
and God will raise them up
and
In covenant relationship.
With one another.
These times of the revivalists
will produce men
in covenant bonds
who will not fear
to sacrifice anything
for each other's vision in God.
Samuel's anointing
affected the life of David
to such an extent
that the first thing
that David did
when he became king of Israel
was to bring back the Ark of Israel.
Y'all know the Ark of the Covenant under the Old Covenant is where God's presence was.
And it's amazing to me, wherever God's presence is, prosperity breaks out.
See? Go ahead.
Samuel's greatest desire
was that the Ark of the Covenant
be returned unto Israel.
That was his greatest desire.
Whose?
Samuel.
But God fulfilled it in who?
David.
So why do you say that?
Because revival is based upon the spirit of what?
The principle
of continuance.
So everything that we're experiencing in our lives is
the culmination of what God has been doing since the foundation of the world was laid.
Are you listening?
No man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
No one can brag,
but if they brag on God.
Go ahead.
That desire was transferred
from
Samuel, the prophet,
to King David.
When David dwelt with him
in Ramah,
God spoke to Elijah,
the prophet to anoint Jehu,
king of Israel.
It was Elisha
who commissioned
one of the sons
of the prophets
to anoint Jehu as king.
Unless I said Elijah, but it was Elijah,
because it was Elisha who anointed Jehu.
Elisha
was a product of Elijah.
Y'all catching this?
Go ahead.
Unless we have men of kindred spirits
joining together.
There cannot be
apostolic succession
in the church.
Y'all notice that.
In the where?
Church.
That's where we are now.
God is passing out mantles.
Who gonna get them?
Who will position themselves to receive them?
Are you listening?
Because everything in this life is about God's agenda.
Go ahead.
One man saw a prophetic vision.
And everybody pressed forward.
To fulfill the vision as theirs.
So in apostolic succession,
you are to take on the vision of the one who God gave it to.
And you are to carry it out
in authenticity.
In other words, you're not going to put your own spin on it.
You will keep it in its original form.
Money cometh.
See, God is demonstrating this to us now.
The revivalist,
Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr.
He's surrounded by 12 men.
It is his heart's desire to put in those 12 men what God has put into him.
Why?
So they could be governing territorial churches, taking that apostolic message of money cometh to the ends of the earth.
It is God's will that when God puts a word in the earth realm, that it doesn't end when the person who he gave it to goes to glory.
Thank y'all for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Such kindred spirits.
Such kindred spirits.
Get God's will.
Get God's will.
And purpose.
And purpose.
To be fulfilled speedily.
To be fulfilled speedily.
This working together.
This working together.
Can only be made possible.
Can only be made possible.
Through a kindred spirit.
Kindred spirit
of covenant relationship.
Y'all know what a covenant relationship mean? If I'm weak in an area and you are strong, when you join yourself to me, then your strength cover my weakness. But y'all know in the church what we like to do, right? We like to come in covenant and try to expose somebody's weakness to justify how strong we are. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
D, spiritual fathering.
The times of the revivalists
are times to fulfill
the essential need
for spiritual fathering.
Samuel was a spiritual father
and mentor to King David.
Today's generation is a fatherless generation, especially in the church. I said, especially in the church. Young men and women today do not want real fathers in their lives. Ministry is not about preaching. Ministry is about living. Ministry is about sacrifice. Ministry is about dying daily. Go ahead.
Unless the prophetic
fulfills its purpose
of joining the hearts
of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to their fathers,
there will not be spiritual apostolic succession
and continuance
in God's eternal purpose.
Isn't that wonderful? God in every generation raises up somebody to meet whatever it has to be met. God cannot do anything in this earth realm without a man. Get your theology right. Go ahead.
Spiritual succession
and continuance.
We need to understand
that we are we're not running a new race,
but we are continuing one that has been started by
our forefathers.
This generation of Christians
are building up on the truths
and the dimensions that have been restored in the past generations.
We are to bring these restorational truths
to maturity.
We are to take
that which have been restored
in earlier generations
and bring them
to a greater level of excellence.
To receive from the previous
moves.
The new move
is the continuation
of the old order.
You ain't nobody doing nothing new. The scriptures say there ain't nothing new under the sun. God's purpose have been consistent from the foundation of the world. Go ahead.
Need to run our own distance.
We need start from the beginning to make get the whole statement in. Okay, number three. We need to run our own distance.
That's been allotted to us
in the race.
We need to know what God wants us to do
in our generation. That's why this is about where we are now. Are you listening? Go ahead.
Being faithful to what God has.
Being faithful to what God has entrusted unto a past generation
will only make us relevant
for
the
for the past generation.
David served his generation well.
David, King David, served his generation well.
Because he knew.
Because David knew.
What he needed to do.
What he needed to do.
With his life then.
With his life then.
Number four. Are responsible to maintain.
We're being responsible.
To maintain.
The past victories. And the present destinies.
We are a generation. Where the past and the future. Are held together.
I'll put it this way. Not only held together. We're in a generation where the past and the future comes together in the what? Now. Everything about God is now. Go ahead.
We need to be faithful. To all that we have.
That's in Christ.
We need to cherish.
And nurture.
All that our forefathers. Achieved and gained. The forefathers. Have invested in us.
Their hopes and their dreams.
The forefathers. Gained many things. And exploits.
They gained many things and exploits, not for themselves,
but to lay a solid foundation
for us to run
and win the race in style.
It's like, y'all know the 4x100? Huh? See, in the 100-meter dash, one get the glory. But in the 4x100, huh? All four gonna get the glory, but nothing can happen if the baton is not passed, right, to the next one, legally. And if you drop it, you're gonna lose the race. Go ahead.
The forefathers' desires
are not only achieved,
but they are brought to perfection
or maturity.
The forefathers' efforts
are rewarded
in our attainment in Christ. Concepts on spiritual fathering.
Spiritual fathering
is an apostolic function.
Notice, spiritual fathering is an apostolic function. It's a heaven to earth principle, a heaven to earth government.
Rendered
to those on whom
the apostle wants to reproduce himself into. The fathering process
is to put in these men
the very life
and nature
of our being.
To be reproduced in them.
The apostolic succession
takes place
through the process
of spiritual fathering.
Number two.
Spiritual fathering
starts on a level of relationship
that has already been established.
Normally,
a teacher-disciple relationship
or a pastor-church member
relationship
allows the Holy Spirit
to lay the basis
for this progression
of love and intimacy.
All normal relationships
progress into higher levels of intimacy
and maturity.
Time and effort
on both sides of the relationship
is essential
for this maturing process
to take place.
The church has to move in some measure
of maturity before she's ready to be what? Fathered. Y'all want to know why? Because apostolic fathering could look like control. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Most sons don't want to be fathered because they see fathering as being smothering or controlling. Okay? Well, class, we're going to end this session right here for this evening, and we'll pick up with this point on in our next class. You enjoy a great evening.